The offseason has officially begun. Welcome back to the Leafs cast. Stephen Douglas joined by Tim and Ryan Allison. The Leafs have a new coach and new hope.
New hope?
What do you think?
More hope.
I guess the first thing that I thought is this is our first off-season pod. You know, we've been doing this pod for a few years now, and Leafs get eliminated every year that we've done it. You know, that's not any surprise to our audience. But where are you guys at right now? It's off-season. Hockey's still going on. Other teams are scoring goals. Apparently, you're allowed to do that in hockey games. Have you kind of calmed down, or are you angry, or where are you guys at mentally with the Maple Leafs?
I've calmed down a bit. Definitely, I mean, it feels like it was a year ago that it happened. I spent a considerable amount of time trying to pretend hockey didn't exist. now that there's like some game sevens happening, I'll check the scores that, you know, see what's happening. Still can't bring myself to watch hockey. The path to recovery?
I've actually watched quite a bit. It's kind of been fun. Just like every night I just, you know, throw on either a hockey game or an NBA game. So I've just been kind of doing both. I didn't really watch too much of the Bruins and Panthers games, though, just because I like hate those teams. But I've watched a good bit of the West. And yeah, I don't think the Leafs were going to be hanging with anybody that's left.
Well, that's what I was. That's what I was thinking too, Steven. I said it after we got out in Game 7, but it's just clear to me that we were not winning the second round, and we definitely weren't going to win the third round, and we definitely weren't gonna, like it. It's just clear to me that this wasn't a year. To me, that mindset made it so that like last year when we got out, that hurt more. I feel like we had a real good team last year, and we could have done something. And this year just felt like it was never the year. So it's not very good because we don't have a lot of flexibility to make our team better for next year. But that's what we're here to talk about. That's what the off-season pods are for. So let's get into it.
Well, I think the dismissal of Sheldon Keefe, which is the main thing I think we'll be talking about at the start of the pod here, is part of why like I don't find myself angry. Like I don't remember what the first off-season pod of last year was, but at that point we knew that the Leafs had fired Dubas, brought in Treliving. He says we're keeping Keefe, sign him to an extension. And so like we're sitting here where, like you said, right, you're the most angry or whatever you had ever been. And like then they just basically said, well, Rye, we're keeping everybody here that made you angry. Where this year they have officially let go of Sheldon Keefe, a classy goodbye by Sheldon Keefe, and brought in our new coach, Craig Berube, but we'll focus on Keefe for now. Because that's huge. I mean, we don't have confirmation on any other moves that's going to happen, but even if you didn't change a single thing, re-signed every single UFA, I don't know how any of that would work out, right? But and you had a different coach, you'll expect the team's going to be different next year, like even if all the same guys are there. So it's big. And it's what gives me more optimism and makes me less angry about the
Leafs. Well, this would be so interesting to see. I don't think Sheldon Keefe was a bad coach. I think he was routinely out-coached. I think he didn't necessarily adapt. I think he didn't – like, other teams got him figured out, and he did nothing with it. Maybe he did think he's not the best coach. So I just want to know, like, next year, is the power play for the first time in years going to be good in the playoffs? Like, was this a Sheldon Keefe issue, or is this a personnel issue? We have never known because they keep running it back, but it's like, I'll be interested.
That's crossed my mind a lot watching these other playoff series because I'm tracking everybody's power play, right? And just to see, like, what do they do differently than the Leafs? And, like, when I watch a lot of them, I don't see, like, these different necessarily schematic things that they do well. Like, I almost blame a little bit of the players more than Keefe when I watch some of these other teams because I'm just like, the Leafs have so many great players and they can't seem to figure it out. I blame Keefe for not changing it, right, and stuff like that and, like, taking guys out to, you know, provide a spark or – you know, doing little things like that. But yeah, after watching some of these other playoff series, I do blame the Leafs a little bit.
Yeah. I said on our last pod that I didn't think Keefe would be let go. But I said that with the mindset of like, I thought it was 100% mathematical certainty that Brendan Shanahan was going to get fired. I thought there was no chance that he was going to keep his job. And a few days before Keefe ends up getting let it go, it became clear that they had no intention of firing Shanahan. He was going to stay. And when that happened, I think it became pretty clear to the world that, okay, then Keefe has got to be, like, there's got to be something that changes. There's no way everyone's coming back. I still have no idea what Brendan Shanahan has done over the last 5 years, let alone 10 years, to indicate that he deserves to stay for an 11th. But he's back. Keefe is gone. I'm with you guys that it's exciting to see what could happen next year. We're going to talk about the players a lot, but after this playoffs, I'm pretty closed book on Mitch Marner in the playoffs right now. Like, he just can't get it done. Maybe under Craig Berube he can. Like, I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting. The problem is that you see on lots of other teams, sometimes they go from sucking and then they switch up the coach and they're all of a sudden great. Like, you don't even have to go back that far. You look at Edmonton this season, who is the worst team in the league. They switch the coach and now all of a sudden they're the best team in the league. I refuse to think that that's exclusively because of coaching, but it doesn't matter because that's what happened. But then you look at other teams, like our favorite team to pick on, maybe it's not our favorite, but one of our favorite teams to pick on, Buffalo Sabres. They go through a new coach every other season and they still suck year after year after year. And it turns out it's not the coach that needs to be changed. So we don't know because we haven't seen Craig Berube behind the bench for us yet. So we don't know if it's going to be new coach, same story, like it was from Babcock to Keefe. You know, playoff success didn't really change. Or if this is the kind of thing that's going to get us over the hump.
I mean, like, Ryan, you talked about Edmonton this season, but you could look at Craig Berube in 2019 with St. Louis. Like, they fired the coach, had this other guy, fired him too. And he came on, and they brought him from last place to first place. I mean,
they went through three coaches that year?
No, it was like Hitchcock was fired at the end of last year, and they hired Mike, like they promoted the assistant coach to head coach, and like 15 games in, they were sucking again, and they said, like, get out of here, bring up Berube. And so it's, it was a bit of a weird situation. But, had success. That was 5 years ago. Maybe he still's got it. I don't know. I think as far as the other candidates that were out there, like I think Berube is one of the better candidates. Especially now that Brendan Moore is off the table.
Did he sign?
I think he did.
He
extended. Good for him. All right.
I mean, I'm still also not convinced that Brendan Moore is that good as far as like Carolina's your, let's like the Leafs. They're great in the regular season. They choke in the playoffs. Anyways. Berube, though, from everything that we've seen him coach in the NHL, he's very much a Brad Treliving coach. And, like, I think we saw it with Dubas and Keefe, like, or rather, we saw it with Dubas and Babcock. The issue when your GM's vision is not aligned with how the coach wants to play, when Keefe was brought in, aligned with Dubas, the results were much greater. I guess maybe they had the same results every single time. But I think Treliving and Berube are on the same page for what they want in a roster and how they want players to play. And so I'm hoping that that leads to more chemistry and more roster coherency.
What's weird about the whole thing, though, and I mean, it's partially when I go back to when I was saying that I didn't think Keefe was going to get fired because they just extended the guy. And, like, I refuse to believe this nonsense about the cloud that they can't coach under a one-year contract. We just saw Brendan Moore do it. Right. We just saw John Cooper do it. Like, those are two of the best coaches in the league, and they had no problem coaching with 1 year left. Why do we need to extend Sheldon Keefe and give him this two-year deal if anything less than, like, winning would mean, like, you're fired? Like, clearly it was the intention the whole time that he's going to be let go here and he's going to be the scapegoat. So why do we bother extending him? I feel like we're making this change a year too late. We should have been making changes after last season. That's when you had the opportunity to move on from a guy like Marner or Nylander, get a new coach. Like, we had that flexibility last year. This year, it almost feels like too little, too late. We're locked in the cap. The coach is really the only thing that you could change now.
I think part of why they do it, I think part of it's the media aspect of it, right? Like, if they didn't extend them, you bring in Treliving, and the Leafs have just, like, it would have been a storyline all season, I think, like, whether they were good or bad.
Good, it would distract from the storyline from the players.
it could have been also something, Rye, where hypothetically, like Dubas, right? Like, if his contract's up, and then it's just like he has the freedom to leave or something. But I think it's also, you know, 18 coaches were fired this year. A lot of them are going to get rehired by different teams, and whether they were under a contract or not, the new team is going to pick up their salary. So, like, whether the – I'm sure the Leafs were confident that, like, if the season doesn't go on, we're going to fire Keith. Like, he's probably going to end up with another job at the start of next season, whether it's New Jersey or wherever. So I think they just do that, and then it keeps the media off their back. And it's kind of lame, and you're right, it is pretty dumb. But,
I mean,
18 coaches were fired this year. That's insanity. Like,
it is insane. That's insane. Like, one thing I would add, Ryan, is, like, I think both Brendan Moore and Cooper are coaches that they are not worried at all about what their next job is going to be. Like, they don't necessarily need the certainty because they know, like, they're going to get a job anyways. But
I don't know. We don't really need to talk. Like, it's not our money. It doesn't matter that they just wasted. It just seemed like there was no plan. They extended him, and then they fired him right away. Like, his contract hadn't even started yet. Like, I don't know. It feels sloppy to me, and I don't like that.
I agree. I would have fired him last year, but I mean, no. I guess what we said last year, though, like, this is one bullet in Brad Treliving's chamber. It's like, oh, he's
well, apparently Shanahan's got, like, a semi-automatic, like, he's got all the bullets.
The extended mag, yeah, Halo 3, like, he's just, yeah. You
know, all the mods.
I do want to bring up Shanny a little bit more, though, because I really watched that press conference, and I know, like, the vibes around Shanny were low, but they got even lower after, because it felt like he really didn't answer any questions. It felt like he didn't provide any sort of reason as to why he's there besides to, like, just mess things up or whatever. And it's so frustrating because, like, they'll have the new new head owner guy of MLSE there. I can't remember the guy's name. It doesn't really matter that much. And then he's like, you know, Shanahan's a winner, a Stanley Cup champion. It's like, who,
like, 30 gives a years crap ago?
When he was playing, like, he was a Stanley Cup champion with skates on his feet, not doing what he's doing right now. And, like, it's funny because you talk about Treliving and, like, his mix into it, but it's like so much of this feels like it's just Brad pulling the actual strings here. And yeah, what does he actually do?
Feels like he was the guy to get us from, like, a trash organization to a good organization. But you could have said the same thing about Keith and Dubas. Those aren't the guys who are going to get us from a good organization to a great organization, the one that could be, like, you know, like Dallas or the Rangers or Colorado are right now, like, to be top of the league. Like,
yeah,
we never got that far. And it's been 10 years. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me that he's kept his job. He must have a great handshake or something. I don't know what it is.
If you want to look up some ancient history, that's kind of good for a laugh now. Tough guy Brendan Shanahan had a pretty spirited fight against Craig Berube way back
in the day. It was spirited. That's a good word to describe it.
Wait, what year are we talking?
It was pretty grainy. I think I could count the pixels on my one hand. So,
okay, yeah.
If they didn't tell me it was Shanahan Berube, they just titled the clip that. It's like, I can't read the names on the back of the jersey.
It'll,
I guess.
Go ahead.
Well, there's the idea, though, of Shanny is, like, you know, since the Leafs have such a unique structure where they're owned by a conglomerate of, you know, a bunch of people rather than, like, one sole being or one sole being's organization, it's like, I guess it's kind of a role they have to have. But yeah, it's just this weird, like, X factor all the time that it's like, well, you know, maybe Treliving is great at his job and Berube be great at his job, but Shanny just keeps getting in the way or whatever because he's the final boss.
It's tough because you don't really know how much he's doing behind the scenes, but.
Well, but when we watched All or Nothing, it looked like a lot.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong.
Right? It looks like a ton. And the fact that he's so vocal, right? Like, he spoke as much as Treliving did at the press conference, which then adversely, I really liked hearing Treliving talk. I don't know.
I remember when Treliving inspired some first confidence. Got hired. He was great on the mic. Like, he's great for an interview. He sounds so confident and likable. And then he goes out and signs Klingberg and Reeves, and you're like, what the heck? So, well, let's get into some of Tree Living and what we could expect, because it's now off season. We have a whole bunch of UFAs and RFAs and lots of cap space. Like, this is an interesting off season. So, yeah, where should we start here?
Well, who's the most off the books, definitely not coming back?
Well, here's the thing. What I would have put in this category, which hasn't happened yet, the assistant coaches haven't been fired yet. Arguably the most low-hanging fruit is the guy who in charge of that abysmal power play.
Don't you think,
play.
Though, Tim, that it will be like they didn't fire the assistant coaches when they fired Keefe because they want to hire Berube, and now Berube makes the call on his coaching staff. Like, those dominoes will fall. I don't even want to talk about the assistant coaches, because it's gonna happen before the end of the summer. If the season starts and they're still there, then we can throw a fit.
I don't know. The time to do it was with Keith. Yes, clean house.
No, because I think I remember hearing when I forget who it was now, but one of our assistant coaches worked with Berube on St. Louis. It wasn't our power play guy. It was the other guy. I forget who.
Well, I guess we'll see.
I bet it won't be clearing house. And it makes sense, Tim. Does it not make sense that you want the coach to pick his coaching staff? And what if the coach wants to keep any of those guys? Too bad you fired him before he even got here. Yes. It makes sense that they're still here.
Anyways,
can we talk about what I wanted to talk about, which was the players, Tim? Stop hijacking my train.
All right, well,
who's the food vendor this season?
Are you guys asking Mitch Marner to waive his no move clause?
Oh my god, Tim, stick with the train here. We're talking about a UFAs and RFAs. Tim, you're done. Take a seat. Mute your mic for a second.
Stephen's question
was, which guy is for sure not coming back? The answer is Ilya Samsonov. That's the answer for which one of our RFAs, UFAs, whoever it is, we're not re-signing. Ilya Samsonov is not coming back to the Toronto Maple Leafs for sure.
So then the plan next year is Joe Woll. They have Dennis Hildeby, who didn't actually play a game this year, but is very highly touted. He sat on the bench a couple of games. But that definitely feels like it's not enough.
Yeah.
And especially considering, you know, Woll not being able to really stay healthy in the NHL. So if they were to get rid of Samsonov, they got to bring in someone else. Samsonov made, I think, $3 million this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a sort of 1A goalie is going for. Like, you kind of have to sign a guy that you think can be that, because Joe Woll's been that made of glass, right? Like, I don't completely rule it out that Samsonov were to be re-signed here on another short-term deal.
I rule it out that Samsonov will be back. There's no way they want to bring Samsonov back. Like, with the injuries and the inconsistencies And Samsonov's going to want more than a one-year deal, probably. It's very interesting what he gets, but I don't think he's getting it from us.
Well, I was going to say, but that part of that depends on, if someone else is going to offer it. Like, I don't know how many other teams are going to be lining up to sign him to a 5x5 or something like that. Like, I wouldn't want him back on a much better deal than he's getting right now, but, like,
I don't even think
I don't want
what
the Leafs to go.
Now.
I don't want the Leafs to go spend a whole bunch of money on someone else. I'd almost rather them keep Woll, get somebody who's a lower cost backup, like who's actually a backup. And then if you find out that Joe Woll's just like dead and not going to play this season, then scramble and try to trade for someone mid-season or something like that. But I don't want them to go spend $6 million on a 1B type starter.
Speaking of goalies that are UFA and used to make $6 million, Matt Murray,
he's
UFA.
That would be my pick. That was gonna be. He's for sure not back. Is Matt Murray?
I wonder. I wonder if they'll re-sign Jones and keep Jones around. I don't even know if he's gonna be a backup or stay as the number three. But you gotta imagine he'd be relatively cheap, and he was real good for us this year. The problem is that the UFA goalie class is pretty weak. It's probably Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov leading the charge in terms of who's available, which is not great.
There's Chris Dreiger from Seattle who's pretty mad.
Needs a bounce back.
The big story in goaltending is what is Boston going to do? Because Swayman is RFA. assuming he's going to get, he makes 3.5, he's probably going to make at least $5 million more. What happens with Ullmark? Is he traded? There's about like 29 teams that could use an upgrade on goaltending.
Like, I doubt Boston's trading Ullmark to Toronto, though.
Well, they're... Oh, yeah, not here. Well, we gave them a really good goalie.
And it was
like
the worst mistake we've ever made.
Wait, oh, yeah, so it'd be the same thing, right? We traded Tuukka Rask for Raycroft, so we have to trade Hildeby for... Or I don't even know. Yeah, they have to be Hildeby because Tuukka Rask never actually played a game for the Leafs. So yeah. Hildeby for... Ullmark can go on to have the worst season. I think Raycroft's first year was like the worst for the Leafs. Or
it was rough.
No, Raycroft. It was something like a record for like the wins in a season from a goalie, but like he played all the games, which is the difference. But like,
was it a who is the one? Was it Toskala? There was somebody who had like the worst season ever. Anyway,
we had a black hole of goaltending.
It was Gustafsson.
Well,
but
okay, but so. Back to the discussion, though, right? Like
James Reimer.
Right, what you were just saying there doesn't sound crazy, though, to like keep Wall, keep Jones, keep Hildeby, and then pray that it goes well. But I would rather do that than spend a bunch of money that we need to spend other places on someone else, because like it is a little bit of a logjam, because Dennis Hildeby is – like too good for the AHL. Like he should really be getting ready to be a backup in the NHL. He should play some NHL games this year. It's just the fact that Joe Woll is so injury prone.
No, you're right. Like getting Jones, if Jones is going to be your number three, then you almost shouldn't sign him. Cause you're right. That's just pushing Hildeby to four. And that's just not proper management. The problem is that there's no real good UFA goalies to sign who will be a definite upgrade. You could trade for one, but you have limited assets, and there's probably other areas that you really need to trade for more. What I almost expect the Leafs to do is similar to what they've done the last few years, is kind of chins out on goaltending, have Joseph Woll and some other guy, maybe Jones, maybe just another backup, and get really cheap there. And I kind of see Brad going the route of, like, the past number of years we've had probably, like, 80% of the cap goes to forwards, 15 to D, and like 5 to goalie. Switching it up so it's like 60% to forwards, 35 to D, and 5 to goalie. And allocate more of our resources, more cap space, trading more, and really bolstering our D to have a better D core. I could see Brad Tree Living targeting that. And if you have a better D core, then you don't need as good of a goalie. Or if you, well, I don't know. I'd say that if you have more defensive forwards, but last year you saw Brad go out and get like Max Domi and Bertuzzi, and they're the opposite of that. So maybe I'm talking out of my butt here, but I could see us not going for the big goalie and upgrading on spending more on defense as well instead, rather.
I think I would agree. I mean, even looking this past year, like goalies are just never a sure thing, unless I guess if it's Boston's goalies, they're the only sure thing, but. Look at like Hellebuck and
Edmonton
Winnipeg.
Is using Pickard in net in playoff games. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. I mean, to be fair, like that's if they lose tomorrow, that's why they're going home. But anyway, I think we cheap out on goaltending and roll the dice, and we have too many other holes. Like, how do you not add at forwards after not scoring any goals, or like our defense is like just so injury prone? I don't know.
When you know, you watch the second round and Florida found ways to score against Boston.
Lots of goals.
It was not a problem for them. Like this was not a, you know, Boston was an unstoppable defensive team. The Leafs just sucked.
Well, clearly Florida had the superior strategy of throwing a chicken wing elbow into Brad Marchand's face to take him out for a few games. We should have done that. Florida's so classy. I love that team. Sarcasm.
Well, Brad Tree Living probably drafted Sam Bennett, so he tried to have him, and then he, you know, got... I actually don't know. Sam Bennett, I think, was 2014 draft. We'll look it up later. I think it's 14.
All right, so let's keep going down our list of UFAs.
Fourth overall pick.
UFAs and RFAs here.
Forwards. Go to forwards.
All right, I'll say a name, and you guys tell me whether you think he'll be re-signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tyler Bertuzzi.
Nope. I think he gets more term and more dollars than he walks.
Steven?
I think the same. Yeah, I think he gets more term, more dollars. Just like his season here was just okay. I would love for him to be back. Like I would love it, but I think there's just other more important things, a center, something like that.
The next,
and if I had to,
go ahead.
If I could only pick one, I think it's the guy who you're going to say next, which is Max Domi. I'd rather.
Well, Max Domi was the guy I was going to say next, and I kind of think that they kind of, you know, they had such a similar season. They started out so horrible, and then they really found the groove at the end. But like, you can't ignore how horrible the first half, like 40 games, were. Maybe even more than that. It was just like laughably bad how bad both of them were. But, and maybe it's silly to base this much over such a small sample size, but I thought that Domi in the playoffs as a center was so interesting to watch. Like, he was so good. Like, he just was with Marner and with Bertuzzi on his wing. Like, I almost would say, like, can we not go to these guys and say, listen, you guys have been bouncing around. Yeah, or not Bertuzzi, I guess, but Domi for sure. And you started this year, you had a rough, you know, took you a while to get your footings. Don't go to another team and suck for the first half of the year again. Stay here, you have something going. We'll put you on a line with, like, Domi, Bertuzzi, Marner again, and that's going to be our third line or something. You know, like, I could just see a future where we say, let's keep these guys and let's sign them for a year, for maybe 2 years or 3 years or something. I think Domi's probably more likely than Bertuzzi for the same reasons you guys said. But I'd kind of be interested in keeping them both. I had no problems with the way those guys played in the playoffs either.
Ugh, just even you saying that makes me bring back the memories how stupid it is that Matthews missed half the series.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, we talk about bringing it back, though. Like, what would be a deal for either one of them that you think they would take that the Leafs would like to keep them around?
Well,
what is that number?
Well,
so
for Bertuzzi,
Max Domi made $3 million this year. Bertuzzi, I think, made 5.5, both on 1 year deals. And both of those probably less than like what you would have thought they would have got even going into the last season. So what do you guys think?
Bertuzzi's a tougher one because I don't even know if he was worth $5.5 million for what, like, I don't know. For Domi, I think he got for him like even a 3x3, and that would be interesting to him. Like, he doesn't even need a raise, just the term. Obviously, he likes playing here. Like, it's Max Domi. It's a little bit of history.
Yeah, he loves it.
So, Bertuzzi is tougher. I don't know what I'd offer Bertuzzi.
Yeah. I mean, Max Domi signed like a 1 year, $3 million deal with Chicago the year before. Then he signed 1 year, $3 million with us. So, it seems consensus is he's about a $3 million player. But,
yeah, because he didn't have as good of a year. Like, statistically, this year on the Leafs was not his best. You know?
But, like, it's way down. Like, the first half was so bad. It was just laughably bad. Like, if you take just the second half and, you know, spread that out over an 82-game pace, it looks so much better. But, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
I would sign him for like, no more than $5 million.
Are you talking about Bertuzzi or Domi? Sorry.
Domi, and as many years as he wants to stay. That's what I would do. I think that he's still a center. He was our top line center on a good line, or what I thought was a good line in the playoffs. Like, that guy's not going to sign for, I think, $3 million anymore if he's sticking around in Toronto.
You don't think so? You don't think if a team offered him, like, he's taken 1 year, $3 million, 1 year, $3 million. How old is he? Like 20, 28 or something? Like, you don't think he'd take a 3 year deal at $3 million?
I guess I'm being like realistic, because I can't think of a guy who signed for less to stay home with the Leafs. Like, I just haven't seen.
But that's
it
not even
before.
Staying for less. Like, it's a better deal than he's got the last few years. And this, like you said, this
was a down year for him,
right? Like, this was there. If he only got $3 million with us for what he did last year, then he should be getting less than that now because he had an even lesser year. So,
well, I'm just saying, like, I don't know that I would want to offer him more than that amount of money.
Yeah.
$5 million. So, like, sure, if it comes back less, that's great. But I'm also getting it like that he could stay here for 8 years if he wants to. Mm-hmm. Like, because I love his energy more than anybody else on the entire team. He's that dude. And I love Chu, like, just he went from, you know, a third line role to a top line center role in the playoffs and was up for the challenge. Like, he's so different than everybody else that we have on the team.
How nervous are you, though, that we sign him to a 6-year deal and he's first half of the season Max Domi again? Could happen.
Well, I would just then expect
it was
the
a
second
massive
half
sample
go.
Size. Like, it wasn't like a few games. It was like half the season that he was so bad. And like that,
what did
he
not
just do that again?
What did he like not score a goal before like October 25th or something? Like, it was, or like, I don't even know. It was crazy. I know.
Like, there's other
but
players.
But like, towards the end of the season, he was really up there as far as 5-on-5 points.
Was. You're right.
And
we only get 5-on-5 points
it's a
in
risk.
The playoffs.
I'll say this. If you signed both of them, Domi and Bertuzzi, I would bet Domi like lives up to his contract more than Bertuzzi does, because I think a little bit of Bertuzzi's game is like, he's so clunky as he skates and it doesn't never really looks pretty. And I don't know that he can drive a line and create like a ton of great plays by himself. And he's cool in front of the net, but like, just didn't fit in as many different places on the Maple Leafs as Max Domi did. So that's why my priority would be Max Domi. I wouldn't mind if he got an upgrade to stick around. Sure, if he signs for $3 million, and if there was ever a candidate to actually sign for less and stay home, it is Max Domi. I mean, his dad's in the stands every night. Yeah. Like, I love seeing it.
I don't know. I do want to, like, I don't want to bring everyone back. Like, this past year, we weren't good enough. You age everyone up a year, we're going to be worse next year. So, like, I think you do have to just move, even if it's just moving deck tiers around, I think there is some, like, not to say that I don't want Max Domi back. I did like second half Max Domi. I definitely do not even consider going more than 3 years on the guy.
Yeah, but I kind of agree.
What's interesting about Tyler Bertuzzi is, like, so after his 3-year ELC, he signed, like, a 2-year deal, 1-year deal, 2-year deal, 1-year deal. Like, this guy has never signed a long, like, even a 3-year contract in his NHL career, and the guy is now 29 years old. No, I don't know if like he'll.
How old is Max Domi?
Same.
He was 20.
He turned 29 a couple months ago.
13 draft. I hope I'm on my game tonight.
2013 is correct.
Oh man, I am the man, Ryan. You better start respecting me around here.
No respect. Duar, is he a UFA?
Yes,
RFA.
RFA. Would you guys?
He's 24.
Link him to another contract or trade his rights, or what would you do?
No, our RFAs you bring back. Like, you generally, you have, unless if they're Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. Literally, they're the only two. Everyone else has no leverage as RFA.
I think that's part of why they don't have to let him walk. I think that's part of why they traded for him, though. I think they bring him back, and he just basically takes the David Kampf role if David Kampf is back. I think that's it.
That'd
right?
be a real like, good idea if we didn't never really give Kampf a 4-year contract last year.
I think
who did that again? Who did that?
Yeah, I think you're giving up some assets to move
that
Kampf's
good talker,
contract, which is not
that
great.
Good talker Tre Living.
Yeah, that's right. Well, is there any other forwards? What are other RFA UFA forwards?
Nicky Robb is RFA. Noah Gregor is RFA.
Rob will be back for sure. Like, you just re-sign that guy. He's too much upside. You're not going to let him walk. Yeah. Gregor, on the other hand, is a more interesting one.
What do you think? What kind of offer do you make to Nicky Robb?
Not much.
So he signed an ELC. You wonder if he would be a guy that would like. Okay. What's not much? 1.5.
Yeah.
One.
No, 1.5 at like a max, like.
Like a two-way deal? Like, is it a one-way deal? It's a one-way deal.
I don't know.
What does Nicky Robb think of himself? He didn't even play every game this season. I think he sat for even playoff games.
He has,
like,
no leverage. He hardly plays, like...
He's not getting paid more than Ryan Reeves.
I'm not saying... Well, his leverage is he could be like, I don't want to play here anymore. Trade me.
And they could just say, no. You're going to sit.
And then they could, yeah. Or they could just trade him. I don't know. I just wonder about Nicky Robb, like, because you see it with him, like, that he can maybe be that guy.
Every year he should be getting better, though. Like, maybe this is the year. I feel like we've been saying that for 7 years straight now. Maybe this is the year Nicky Robb breaks through.
This sounds like a good segue to talk about the defense. Steven, don't think I see didn't see what you did there, skipping over the defense, talk about the forwards.
Wait a minute. I have not been... You and Ryan decided to have your little cat fight about the order here. Speaking I've just been enjoying of your company.
Someone who should be better and better every seven years in a row, Timothy Liljegren, RFA.
Hmm. That's a hard one.
He made 1.4 this past year.
What would you guys say is your confidence level that Timothy Liljegren will be a top four NHL defenseman with the Toronto Maple Leafs at some point in his career?
With the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's a low bar.
Which he has not cleared.
He's never, the whole time though, gotten the physical part of being a top four defenseman, because he's not excellent enough offensively to not have that defensive moving bodies aspect to his game.
Yeah.
He just gets rocked all the time. So like you wonder about that part of him, right? Like, when's he ever really going to figure that out? Because when he looks best is when he's playing with a big tough guy that moves bodies. So I'd say pretty low at this point. Like I believe Simone Benoit is a top four defenseman more than Timothy Liljegren is, right? Isn't that weird? He was our first round pick.
I mean, it's a little bit of chem though. Like, Simone Benoit is not a top four defenseman on a pair with Timothy Liljegren. No way. He's only a top four defenseman when he's playing with Jake McCabe, who's like arguably our second best defenseman on our team behind Morgan Riley. Right. So like, it's a little bit of an unfair comparison. But you're right. I'd trust Benoit up there more than Liljegren. I'm starting to close the book on him. It's too bad, 'cause we've had so many defensemen come between Dermott and Sandin and Liljegren, and just like all these homegrown D that look like they have potential when they're in their 5-6 D slot role, and then we try them in the top four and none of them could just make it stick, and it looks like Liljegren will just kind of fall into that category again. I suspect he won't get that much money as an RFA, like probably not much more than he's already getting.
Yeah, because him and Sandin signed those deals as like kind of bridge deal, prove it,
yeah,
right? Because they were playing pretty well going into that,
yeah,
and he basically just lived up to that. So you'd have to think, actually, yeah, that he just comes back at the same amount. He doesn't really have any leverage to say, I deserve a lot more than this.
Which is okay. Like, he's a good third-pairing defenseman, right? Like, we're not getting shelled when he's on the ice, and he does provide a little bit of offense. He's good at moving the puck, which you don't have a lot of D that can do that. It's just unfortunate that we're so short on D, and you hope for some growth from within, and it doesn't really look like it's coming from him.
I think you get
well compensated.
I think you guys are dreaming if you can get him for 1.4, a guy who's like pretty consistently played in the NHL. So Rasmus Sandin, for example, he got is like with us in his last year, he got 35 points. This last year with Washington, he got 23 points. You know the contract that Washington threw at him? 4.6 million by 5 years.
Do you know how much, what minutes he plays? He's like on their top, he's like their top defenseman on that team.
I don't know. Liljegren has been like a 20-point defenseman of the Leafs. Like, you're not getting him for 1.4 million. He's getting like two to two and a half.
Yeah, but did Washington give him that as an RFA? They did, didn't they? Would you not look at that, Tim, and say, that's a sucky deal that Washington made? Like, why is that the bar? That was just Washington being boneheads.
This is the bar that we have to clear.
But you say, though, or it's not something that we have to do then, though, right? Like, would you rather have Timothy Liljegren at 2.5?
I would rather
$2.5 million and find somebody else.
I'd rather pick up some like league min fringe seven defenseman than pay Timothy Liljegren $2.5 or $3 million.
I'm there with Ryan. I think like
2.5.
The only reason you're making that deal and paying him $3 million is because you still believe he could crack the top four and be a top four defenseman in this league. That's why you don't make
$2 million. They make double that.
So we're saying, like, you sign him to that deal, and it's like, we're signing you as a six. If you want more next time, you got to work up to being a top four.
Yes.
But, like, we're paying him, assuming that he's going to be a six, because we've seen, like, what, 300 games of him, and he's a sixth guy.
The worst hockey he plays is in the playoffs. You're right, Steven. Like, him and Matthew Nyes just get bulldozed over out there. I don't know what it is. Matthew Nyes is even a small guy. I don't know why he gets picked on so much. But, like, every shift he's out there, Liljegren is getting pounded into the boards. He just can't hang when hockey gets big and heavy in the playoffs. His best hockey is in the
regular season. And it's such a big part of the game to move bodies in front of the goalie, and he just gets cooked. I have, like, so many flashbacks to him versus Tampa, just getting obliterated. Yeah, yeah. Like, so unless he gets on the Jake Muzzin diet this offseason, that's the deal, Tim. If he's over 230, you can sign him to whatever you want. If he's under 230, we go with my deal.
Your deal.
And same with you. If you come back 230, then we'll do
the pot again
as well. Tim probably doesn't even own a scale.
All right, well, let's talk about some of Steven's favorite defensemen then, because they're over the 230 limit. Edmondson and Lyubushkin. We traded for them. I believe they're both just UFAs after this season, right?
Edmondson, 224.
Oh, okay. Edmondson and Lyubushkin, would you bring back either of those guys?
Yes. I'd say, like, Lyubushkin, I don't know. It's just, like, on one hand, like, what do we have for defense? We have these are the guys we have under contract. Riley, McCabe, Benoit, Timmins, Cade Weber. And so we have literally like NHL defensemen.
Cade Weber is a guy.
Yeah,
not an NHL.
He was a big college free agent defenseman. He's like 6'7". That's the two of you on top of each other. He's going to play some NHL games probably this season.
Probably a bit aggressive to pencil him in as one of our six in the playoffs, though.
Well, it's a long season. He'll be a rookie, but I'm just saying these college kids that play all 4 years, they're different coming in. They're different right. coming in. So, but Cade Weber is also like will not score any points. So, like he'll just fit right in.
I think
put him on second left wing.
Between the two of them, I'd bring back Edmondson over Lyubushkin. I think the Lyubushkin kind of had the niche of he's been here and we knew he could play with Riley and that was kind of the thing, but I don't know. He's kind of getting older and slower, and I think I'd rather go a different route there. Edmondson really impressed me in the playoffs though. He just seemed huge and just was like you said, Steven, clearing the net. That was like Edmondson to a T, or rubbing people out. So I think I'd be willing to bring Edmondson back, but not if he wants, like, you know, the $4 million Sandin treatment. So I guess it all depends on how much laundry Brad's prepared to do here.
I think I'd agree between those two. Like, I think Lyubushkin's niche was, like, who's going to play with Morgan Riley? We haven't mentioned his name yet this podcast. TJ Brody, UFA.
Yeah.
I think the Leafs need to take that $5 million and go find a partner for Morgan Riley. Like, Lyubushkin just isn't, like, he's only going to get slower, like, puck moving skills weren't really there. Like, I think that's I don't know about the top of the Brad's list. Brad has a lot of things up near the top of the list. I think that's a big
well, no, theory. You said it, Tim. We have like four defensemen under contract. Like, we literally cannot ice a team next year with the defensemen that we have. We need defensemen. That is the top priority list for Brad here.
Well, you bring up like Brad, but Berube, you know, those St. Louis teams that he had when they were good were unbelievable defensive teams, old veteran guys, big Cade Weber.
We've heard
I don't know.
We've heard Parayko's name linked with the Leafs for like 8 years now. Maybe now that Berube's our coach, we'll target him a little harder.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. That guy just signed an anchor of a contract.
Yeah, it's a brutal contract.
Tim wants to sign Liljegren to that.
Yeah, that's right.
He's great.
Guys, $2.5 million doesn't get you in the door in the NHL.
Is that what it is? Is it a Tim thing?
Listen, Connor Timmins makes $1.1 million to sit on the bench and use their medical staff. You're going to give Timothy Liljegren $1.4 million?
I'm just saying it's you and the Tims, Liljegren and Timmins. And you guys are going to ice your lineup or whatever. Let Ryan and I handle this part of the podcast. Give me a break.
You don't even like talking about the defenseman.
Well, I wonder what Berube has to say, because I just like feel like Treliving and Berube are going to be best buddies, and they're going to be at the cottage, and they're going to be just looking at who the biggest defensemen in the league are, and that's who they're going to pick up. So like, I could see Edmondson coming back. I didn't even consider Lyubushkin sticking around, just because like we've already done this with him one time before. Like I think it'll go exactly time, yeah. as it. Yeah, I think he'll. Didn't he sign with
Arizona? Wasn't
Arizona? Yeah. No. We got him from Arizona, I think, the first time. Right. So he went to Anaheim. I think he went to Anaheim. So I think he'll go back to Anaheim again in a deal, and then we'll just see him again in the fall or in the spring.
You brought it up, Tim. TJ Brody, if he's coming back, it's like on a geo deal, like league min, and he's coming back as our number 7, and he's only playing 30 games in the season. And I'm assuming, I guess Gio is another one of those UFAs that we have. I don't know. Is that guy retiring, or is he looking for a contract?
Oldest skater in the league. Yeah, he's the oldest. He has to retire. Like,
I don't think we're bringing Gio back. I'd only bring Brody back if it was on like a league min. He went downhill like off a cliff over the last two seasons, which is pretty disappointing. But I kind of think they'll want to go a little bit of a different direction here. Brad tried to trade Brody away to Toronto for Nazem Kadri, so he clearly doesn't like him.
Well, and I think, go back to what Tim said before about, like, I just want different guys. Like, I don't want Brody back because I want different guys. I don't really want Lyubushkin back because I want different guys. So, Timothy Lillard, I don't want back, I think, because I want different guys. So, I want different guys.
All right, well, let's pivot to Tim's. Well, finally, the train is stopping at Tim's station. And speaking of different guys, Tim, tell us about Mitch Marner.
Well, like, all these guys that we talked to are all around the edges. I guess, like obviously, Bertuzzi and Domi move a little bit up the lineup, but I don't know if any of those guys move the needle. After Sheldon Keefe, next biggest scapegoat of the playoffs, I think, is kind of fallen to Mitch Marner. Justified or not, like, he didn't perform up at the level he did on in the regular season, but so the guy is in full no move clause, which means he is in complete and utter control of where he gets traded to, if anything, at the season. If he wants, he could just walk at the end of the deal and there's nothing we could do about it. But do you approach Mitch Marner this offseason and say, like, look, we're wondering about shopping you around. What are some teams that you want to go to? Do you have that conversation?
I think you absolutely have the conversation. I think you have the conversation with him and John Tavares to say, hey, listen, we're looking to make changes here. Are you willing? Because Tavares is the same boat, full no move clause at 1 year left. And you have to, if you're not having the conversation, you're not doing your job as general manager. You have to ask. And if Mitch Marner comes back and says, no, like, I don't want to play anywhere else than here, then great, you come back to him 6 months from them with a contract extension and say, great, we only want to sign you for $6 million. And he's going to say, no, I'll walk. And then you get a little hairy. But you absolutely have the conversation. The problem more comes to, he's going to say, okay, I only want to go to these three teams. You saw what kind of negotiating power Ottawa had with Tarasenko when he says, oh yeah, I'm only going to Florida. Great. Now Florida can only give, like, what was it, like a fourth round pick for Tarasenko or something? It was highway robbery.
Yeah, we see players so that, like, all the time.
It just leaves the Leafs in such a horrible position where if they do end up saying, you know what, we want to make a trade here and move on from Marner, they're going to lose the trade. Like, they have no negotiating power. And I mean, Brad was in a similar position when Tkachuk said, I wanted out, and he still managed to get Huberto back. But in hindsight, it's like huge L on that trade for how good Tkachuk is on Florida now. So you just, like, you'd hate to think that we're going to be going the same route here.
That Tkachuk deal, though, was bad, part because of the gigantic contracts that Brad went ahead and signed Huberto and Mackenzie Weegar to, yeah, like, immediately after, right? Mm-hmm. I think the one piece of leverage that the Leafs do have over Mitch a little bit is the money, right? Because he wants to get a big bag, and if he wants to get an 8-year deal, it has to come from a team that he's playing on, and that can be part of it, right? He can go out and he can Like if they say we want you to explore a trade, it might be less like, oh, I want to go to these three cities or whatever, right, that have good teams and that are good, cool places. And it's more like, well, what's the next place that's actually going to give you a really big contract, the one that you think you deserve?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many teams would be lining up to sign Mitch Marner to an 11-year or $11 million a year
I think there are
deal.
32 teams in the NHL who are lining up to sign Mitch Marner to that deal. Whether or not he deserves
11,
even if he doesn't deserve it, like there's only so many players like Mitch Marner who are, could be needle movers, and every team wants those players.
He what's weird, you know, we say Mitch is the scapegoat. I mean, he has just as many points as anyone else in the core four in the playoffs. It doesn't,
Well,
I don't like saying that because it doesn't look that good, but he does. Like if there was one person I'd rather have gone, it's John Tavares more than Mitch Marner. Just feels less realistic that John Tavares would waive his no move and actually
the
leave.
thing about the Tavares thing, though, is like, let's say we re-sign both of them. Mitch Marner's coming back next year, an 8-year, $11.5 million contract, a little bit of a raise, 8 years, which is what he'll want, I think. John Tavares is not coming back at an 8-year, $11.5 million contract. He's coming back on like a 5-year, $4 million contract. And would you like to retain Tavares for that? For sure. So, like, if you trade Tavares now and you say, like, let's move that because we want to get rid of the $11 million, yes, that's like you're better off for this season. But then, like, it's just like it's down the line beyond this season. You'd rather have that low cap it than to have to pay Marner, and you're stuck in the same situation of we're allocating all our cap space to these limited players who never get it done in the playoffs. Like, Tavares won't be a part of that after a year from now. He'll just be a regularly paid schmuck on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right, guys, I'm gonna stop you there. You guys have gone on and on and on. I've like held my tongue to see like how deep a hole you guys are gonna dig. It's totally ridiculous to even consider asking John Tavares to waive his no move clause. Like, if someone's
He
gonna
was
take
the
an $11
worst
million
of all of them.
contract, or like, and you talk about Mitch Marner, like, are you really gonna soil the waters with 1 year deal and say we want to get rid of you? What do you mean it's your his job to ask the question of that?
It's his job to examine the team and figure out how can we make this better. You think, like, if Brad Treliving says, "Hey, listen, do you want to be here? Do you want us to play? Or should I go and look out to see what other teams are available here?" What, Mitch Marner's gonna be like, "Oh, I hate this
That's
team
not what you
now, but
said.
I'm gonna stay here anyway and then walk after a year just to screw you, Brad." What? No, these aren't babies. Maybe Marner's a little bit of a baby, but not that much of a baby.
No, okay. I was saying, like, it is Brad Trilling gonna go to Mitch Marner and say, "Look, we want to move on from you. What? Give me your list of cities." Like, that's a conversation that you do not have with him. Like, this guy's one of the face of your
Because
franchise. Like, there's the reason why you don't do it is because you said it. There's no trade you can make with Mitch Marner that where like you get decent value back.
so,
Like,
but that's a call that Brad makes of whether or not
wait.
he thinks that he can make a trade or not. Go ahead, Steven.
But how does this end then? Like, so if you don't make that call, Mitch plays the whole year. You're Brad. You wanted to make that call. You didn't because you listened to the Leafs cast and Tim told you not to. Mitch ends the season and walks away because you still don't want Mitch
No, the
anymore.
Le they Le Leafs are going to throw all those money and term at him, and nothing's going to happen.
Tim, I agree that the most likely situation is the Leafs sign Mitch Marner to an
Ugh.
$11.5 million 8-year extension. That's what I think is going to happen. Regardless of that, it is disgusting if they don't go to him and say, "Are you willing?" and explore the option.
No,
Like,
there's no way.
what?
Are you doing that with Matthews? Are you doing
No, of
that with
course not, because
Nylander?
you want to keep, you've no desire to trade
Yeah.
Matthews. You could be a better team without Mitch Marner. You
They might have
could be a different
done
team.
that with Willie. That might have happened with Willie. We don't know.
Well,
I
guys,
think
these guys have huge egos. Like, you think that they, like, I don't know. There's zero chance, I think, that they actually
what
go
is
and start
soiling the
shopping.
water, Tim? They go to Mitch Marner and they say, "We hate you and we want to move on."
Yeah.
What and so what? The two options. Either Mitch Marner says, "Yes, trade me," in which case, great, that's what they wanted to do anyway. Or Mitch Marner says, "No, don't trade me." then he's clearly not soiled because he's saying he wants to stay.
No, then he's going to walk at the end of the year.
So what, he's saying, no, don't trade me, I want to stay so I could walk for nothing? Like, your logic is contradicting itself. Either he wants to stay or he doesn't. And whether Brad Treliving asks him if he wants to stay or not shouldn't be soiling anything or shouldn't matter in any of the decisions.
But what are you going to do? He's going to say, oh, I'm only going to trade me to Chicago. Who, like, what are you going to get? A draft pick or two?
Then they don't trade him.
And then is he's horrible all year, and it's like, oh, what, another wasted year of Matthews. Like, are you going to, like, even bother trying for that?
Well, but Matthews, I don't think, is wasted if Mitch Marner's there or not. If this goes horribly, Mitch Marner plays on the third line all year or whatever, and you keep Max Domi, I think Austin Matthews is going to have a fine season.
Guys, Mitch Marner here.
Maybe I'm crazy in thinking that 31 other teams would be lining up to sign Mitch Marner to an $11 million
Mitch Marner probably makes 15 if he hits UFA.
Everyone wants Mitch Marner. There's no
okay,
way
so if there. Everybody wants Mitch Marner, we should trade him and get a whole bunch of different pieces that the Leafs need. We have four defensemen, two centers. Like, we need a lot of other stuff. And
you're getting
you look at what
parts.
Winnipeg did.
It's almost like the man whose job it is to build the Toronto Maple Leafs should think about what Mitch Marner as a trade piece could do for his job, Tim. I can't believe you're saying that this is a non-starter.
Well, it's Winnipeg, like, if you had that conversation with him, you're basically saying, like, we've given up on you as a player, and Marner is a guy who plays a heart on the sleeve. If he says, oh, you've given up on me, why am I gonna bother trying for you?
Tim, do you think that we're a better team with Mitch Marner on our team right now? Because I'm at the point where I don't think we're winning in the playoffs on the back of Mitch Marner making $11 million anymore.
We haven't.
He never performs. He can't handle the lack of space. He never gets it done. Like, compare that to Matthews and Marner, who also well underperformed what they should be doing, but they're better than even Mitch Marner is, and Tavares is just old. Like, you don't even expect that from the guy anymore. If you think of one guy in the Maple Leafs who's just like a drain on the cap in the playoffs year after year, it's Mitch Marner. So move on. Even if he walks, well, like, it sucks because you don't want to lose him for nothing, but, like, it's just not working. And we should have traded him last year, but we lost that chance. Go ahead, Steven. I'm tired of yelling at my brother.
If there's 31 other teams that would be lining up to trade for him, then you'd be able to get a good deal, just like Winnipeg did when they traded Dubois to LA. They got three pieces that helped them get to the playoffs and play well this
and
year.
And get eliminated.
it doesn't
but
matter.
But they were like one of the better
teams. Want him. Marner's going to say, trade me to one place. He wants to go.
No. Well, it'll. But he's not going to say that if he doesn't think they would give him the money. So like if all these teams are willing to give him the money, that amount, like, I guess it could go that way. I kind of doubt it. Like the Tarasenko thing was different. It was a different situation. It's an older player not going to sign another 8-year deal. Like, he's not going to sign an 8-year deal with Florida. It's different. He's choosing, like, where do you want to go to make the most amount of money? Because if you sign an 8-year deal, this is the big deal. When you're done with this, you're going to be like 34 or 35 years old. So like you better make it count. And he's not going to say Vegas or something like that, right?
Because they're going to, you know, play Bedard maybe. I don't know. Like, and what? And then you look at Chicago. You got nothing. Like, you are getting literally nothing from Mitch Marner, and except
if you're, you know what you're getting, Tim? You're getting $11 million of cap space is something. That's not nothing.
Like, what are you going to do?
If you're Mitch Marner,
Steven Stamkos comes save you.
But if we go into this season and he has a down year, just like it's a like the vibes are off. Brad went to him and said, you know, will you give me this list? He said, I'm mad now and I'm going to play bad all year. Right. And he plays bad. He's not going to get $15 million a year. Like he has a really good opportunity. If all these teams want him to get traded this offseason past July 1, and then sign that, massive 8-year deal before, you know, this
before
one
he
ends
sucks.
With this. But it's a thing though, right? Like, where Goudreau went into the offseason and he signed a deal with like this sucky team and it all felt like it came crumbling down on him. Like, it's a smoother way for it to go to get traded to this team that like commits to you. They really want you. You know, they traded all this stuff for you.
All this being said, like,
it's possible.
You still ranked him that it's he's going to sign a long-term deal. It's probably what's going to happen, but it's definitely it's not a you're discounting it too much. But we're already at an hour here, so we should probably not.
Well, the man who drafted Mitch Marner is not with the team anymore, and the guy who signed him to that original deal is not with the team anymore. It's a different GM, different head coach who have different opinions. Like, and whatever Shanny plays into this, I guess we'll see. But like, just because Kyle Dubas signed that deal does not mean that Tre Living would have signed that deal, or that he will for sure this time. So that's part of it. I think that's a big part of it.
I don't know. I just don't think there's the options out there. I think that, I don't know, we'll suck again next year.
And does Mitch Marner still want to be here?
Why are we potting today, guys? I'm trying to pretend hockey doesn't exist.
Does Mitch Marner still really want to be here?
He does. I'm sure he does.
I'm sure that he just wants to go who will pay him the most money. These guys are just
I don't get the vibe he still wants to be here. I don't think so.
All right. I think we wrap it up there. I need to go and mend some relationships with Tim off air here. Tim, just because I beat you at board games tonight doesn't mean you got to be salty. So I think we call it there. What do you say?
See you in the summer when maybe we're in a better mood.